And I've had this burden heavy on my heart throughout the week this week, and really haven't been able to get away from this thought, so I'm going to give it to you with God's help this morning. And something that I believe is relevant in all of our lives, a thought, a principle. And like I say, we're in Deuteronomy chapter number 1. And just for context sake, if you read in the first part of Deuteronomy, you find out that God's will for Israel was for them to go into Canaan land, to go into the promised land. That's what His desire for them was. And let me just say that God's will is always to be moving forward. Amen. Always be moving forward. I believe it was David Livingston. He said, "I'm willing to go anywhere provided it be forward." Amen. I like that right there. Don't want to go back. Amen. So that's the context of this story right here. And we're just going to take an excerpt of Scripture and from Deuteronomy chapter number 1, pull a thought and pull some principles from the Scripture here, give it to you this morning. So we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 1, start reading in verse number 22. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verse number 22. The Bible says, "And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us. And they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain, and came into the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, It is a good land, which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, Because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Verse number 28, the Bible says, Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven, and moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims are there. Verse number 29, the Bible says, Then I said unto you, Dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went, until ye came unto this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God." Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. And Lord, just the encouragement not only to worship, not only to sing and to preach, but Lord, just to be around God's people, to be around our church family. We thank you for that opportunity. And Lord, I pray that the Word of God would speak to our hearts this morning, that we would give you liberty with ourselves, and Lord, that you might have the preeminence in all things. And ultimately, Lord, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be lifted up and glorified in the midst of your people, Lord. And we know that we'll get the help that we're looking for if that takes place. And Lord, thank you once again for your goodness to us. And even so, come, Lord Jesus, in your precious name, I pray these things. Amen. So once again, the basis and the context of this chapter here in Deuteronomy chapter number 1 was to show that God's will for His people was to go in and to possess the land. I mean, this was always His will. It still is His will, by the way. And let me just say, as a way of basic introduction, that God has a will for all of us. Amen. God has a will for all of us. And you say, and I say this all the time, the best place you can be today is in God's will. Amen. The best place you can be tomorrow is in God's will. Amen. I mean, it's just the best place you can be. But let me say this, you can't worry about God's will 5 years from now. Amen. You can only worry about God's will for your life today. Amen. You know, we're not even promised tomorrow. We're not even promised our next breath. Amen. But I'll tell you, you can be in the will of God right now. And there's no better place to be than in His will. But we see in Deuteronomy that God's will for His people Israel was to take them to the promised land. Can I tell you this morning that God's will for your life and His desire is to bless us? You know, God wants to do good by you. Amen. I know a lot of the time us as preachers, I'm around enough preachers to know this.
A lot of the time, all we can see in things is the bad. Anybody else struggle with that? I mean, it's just a general flaw that I have. But I'll tell you this, I thank God that He sees the good in things, even when all I see is the bad. I'll tell you, some of the situations that we've all been through, it was hard at the time to see the good in it, but God saw the good. Amen. I'll tell you, it's hard for me sometimes, and it's hard for you too, amen. You can take your halo off to see the good in people. It's just hard to see. But I thank God that He sees Himself. He sees the good in any situation, amen. And God's will for our life is to bless us. He is on our side. Aren't you glad for that? Man, I'll tell you, I'm glad that God is on our side. There's no better side to be on than on the Lord's side, amen. But we just see the basic principle here that His will for His people was to move forward. Let me say this, if you're not moving forward in the Christian life, if you're not advancing, if you're not moving forward, if you're not drawing closer to the Lord on a daily basis, then you're moving backwards. You know, there is never a time in your Christian life where you stand still. You're either drawing closer or you're getting further away from the Lord. You're either doing more or you're either doing less. There is no standstill. And I would say one of the flaws of the church today is the desire to plateau. Man, you're in a place we don't like. Man, if I could just get to that place right there, everything will be okay. And you know what you find out? When you reach where you want to get, you've got to just keep going further. You're going to go backwards. Does that make any sense at all? You say, what's the point? We got to keep moving forward. Even when it's hard, even when it's heavy, you keep moving forward. Amen. That was God's will for His people, the nation of Israel. Let me say this also. Notice in our verses that we just read how Moses reminds them of all that God had done before. Amen. Constantly you see where Moses is saying, hey, listen, don't you remember when He brought you out of Egypt? Let me ask you, church, don't you remember that day in your lives? Amen. When He brought you out of bondage, brought you out of your own sin. Amen. And constantly Moses is standing before the people saying, listen, look at where you are now compared to where you used to be. And I'll tell you, listen, I know I'm not what I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. Thank God that by the grace of God, I am what I am today. And He's constantly reminding them about the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God and the blessings of God and the long-suffering. And you know what a lot of the time church is and the Christian life is? Whether it's reading your Bible or encouraging one another or whether it's the preacher standing and preaching, you know what most of it is? Man, God has been good to us. God has been faithful. God has been merciful. Think of all the times in your life where God was there for you. That's a lot of the time what we're doing. Amen. And let me just say, amen, Paul. What I want to focus on this morning, though, is the end of verse number 31. Amen. Moses is given the principle, man, about how God carried them in the wilderness. Amen. He goes on to remind them, he said, listen, don't y'all remember the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night? Don't y'all remember all those dark nights when it was cold outside, but in spite of it, that pillar of fire was still there? Amen. Amen. And when it was hottest during the day, the cloud was in the... Don't y'all remember that? Amen. All this He did. All this God has done for us. And at the end of verse number 31, He says, until you came unto this place. Amen. Until you came to this place. And I'm pretty sure if I could ad-lib what Moses is trying to say, amen, not to change the Word of God, but I don't know about you, with these Bible stories, I like just kind of inserting myself there a little bit and kind of getting a feel for what's going on. And I think Moses is trying to encourage God's people the same way that we're trying to encourage each other today. And I'm pretty sure he was asking them this question. What's different now? Amen. Until you came to this place, until you came to this trial, until you came to this place in your life, hasn't God been good all the way up until this place? And man, I can all those Israelites, as they began to go back in their mind's eye, And, amen, go back to the Red Sea being split, man, and walking through on dry ground. And I'm pretty sure if they were honest in their hearts, they would have to answer, yeah, Moses, he's been with us all the way up until this place. And if I were Moses, I would say, well, don't you think he's going to be with you now? Until you came under this. Let me tell you something, Christian. If he's been with you this far, I'm pretty sure he's going to keep on going with you. If he's provided this far, what makes you think that he's not going to provide again? Amen. Until you came under this place. You see, a lot of the time, it's easy for us to look back on what God's done and thank God for it, but it's harder for us to look forward and have faith in the fact that God's going to take care of it again. It's one of the hardest things in life to do. Amen. To look at your trial, to look at your health, whatever it is, and say, God, I don't know if you're going to meet the need. Well, let me ask you, church, hasn't He always met the need up until now? Hasn't He always come through? Hey, listen, I'll tell you right now, even if you're not answering, I'll tell you, yes, He has. He has always come through. Amen. And as they look back, but you know what? We find out, and this is going to be the first point of the message this morning, a principle about this place that you're in right now. I don't know where you're at, whether it be physically, circumstantially, or spiritually. I look across the room. There's enough people here this morning to know that a lot of us are in different places. Amen. Whether it be, I don't know, I don't care what it is. Financially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, marriage-wise, home, kids, whatever. Y'all notice Miss Haven's growing, by the way. That's our daughter's name. Was I supposed to? Sorry. Amen. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Man, in a crowd even this size, everybody's in a different place. Amen. But let me tell you, no matter what place you're in, let me encourage you. We may all be in different places, but we all serve the same God. And, you know, a lot of the time I found out with preaching or with encouragement in general, and there's an element of truth to this, but people will look at you and say, well, wait till you walk in these shoes. And, you know, a lot of the time I can agree with that. Experience-wise, maybe you've gone through some things that people in here can't sympathize with you with. Man, some of us go through things in our hearts that nobody sees, nobody understands. So I get that. And let me say, Christian, this ought to encourage us not to look down our noses on what other people are going through. Because until you've walked in those boots, amen, until you've tread that lonesome path, you better just keep your mouth shut a little bit. But let me say this, along those lines at the same time, I don't care what you're going through or where you've been, my God is the same as your God. He's faithful even though you are facing what you're facing, amen. He's good even though you are facing what you're facing. And so people may not be where you are or have been where you've been, but I'll tell you this, God has. You see, I'm scratching an itch here. Y'all just bear with me. You know, people end up walking out on God because people let them down. And the more I see, man, we're talking about everybody desires to have happiness. And you know, for you to be happy, the root word of the word happy is hap. H-A-P-P. And so you know what your happiness depends on? It depends on what happens to you. And the world is pumping out a message that no matter what happens, the chief goal of my life is to be happy. Y'all know that's the world's message today? That's why every little thing offends everybody. Because you're affecting my happiness. God forbid you affect my happiness. If your happiness can be affected by what somebody posted on a social media platform, then you don't have much happiness. Amen. But you know, I forget where I was going with that. I was scratching with an itch. Amen. You say, here's what I was saying. The least little thing that happens to Christians today and people disappoint them, well, the first thing they do is doubt God. Let me tell you, I've been let down before. Have you? Oh, yeah, you have. I'll answer that for you. People have let me down. But let me flip side that. I've let some people down. You've let people down too. Hey, God forbid somebody walk out on God because I let them down. Let me tell you something. God has never and God will never let you down. Amen. That's why I believe God's house should be full on Sundays. Amen. Everybody's at home. Not everybody, but there's people sitting at home that won't have anything to do with God or the house of God because of people. Man, get your eyes on the Lord. He'll never let you down. And there's a whole thing. We could go into all how Christians should treat people and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just telling you, God will never let you down. Amen. I had to get that off my chest. But a principle that I see about this place that they were in, whatever place you're in this morning, until you came into this place, there's a principle I see here. And it's this. Past victories don't fight the present battle. Past victories don't fight the present battle. Now let me say this before I get into this. Thank God for past victories. I thank God for the victories He's given me. But I tell you, the victory I had 5 years ago, I've still got a fight on my hands today. And so do you. And let me say this about past victories. They are meant to be drawn from, but they are not meant to be depended on. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, in the quietness of my devotional life sometimes, God will bring things up to me that He's helped me with in the past. And I have gleaned from that, and I have drawn strength from that. But I cannot depend on that to fight my current battle. Past victories don't fight the current battle. Let me say this. The battle is just as hot today as it was 10 years ago. You say, what do you need? You need the whole armor of God. You need the sword of the Spirit. You need to walk with God. Not just memories. Not just memories. Amen. Thank God for memories, but they don't fight the battle. Amen. And I'll tell you, man, people, we tend to do this anyways, but Christians especially, we try to live our Christian life off of memories. Now, I'm the world's worst. You can ask my wife. I remember everything. It's a blessing and a curse. Because I can't claim to have forgotten something she asked me to do. Anyways, not to get into that. But you know what? Thank God for these conversations. But at some point, the conversation can't be remember when. Like the old country song, amen. Remember when? Amen. Yeah, I remember when, but I'll tell you this. I need God today. And I know this. Brother Terry read Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 a minute ago. Thank God I'm not there yet. But as a church kid, growing up in a Bible-believing church, and amen, I've seen God move in my life, and I thank God for it. But you know, kids, y'all can bear witness to this. People will stand up and say, y'all remember in the 70s when this happened? And everybody, yeah, amen. And I'm sitting there saying, no, I don't. I don't remember that. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm saying that I need God to do something right now. You know, the only hope for our kids in this church is for God to do something right now. Amen. They're not the church of the future. They're the church of today. Amen. Amen. And they need to see God's and His ways and His house and His Word be the priority of not just their lives, but your life too. Because your past victories don't fight the battle for your kids. And let me just tell you, there's a world of evil coming their way, whether you realize it or not. That's one of the things that since we found out we're having a baby, man, just the reality of how important it is for kids to know God. How important it is. Amen. You say, what do our kids need to cling to this morning? They need to cling to God. Don't cling to society. Don't cling to all that it has to offer. You can't cling to mom and daddy's coattail forever. Now, this is almost more of a message to the parents than the kids. They can't live off your faith forever. Amen. You say, what do they need? They need to be equipped for the present battle. And let me just say this, the ball field won't equip them for it. Amen. Are y'all okay this morning? Amen. Are y'all okay? And I'm telling you, I look back on my life and I can tell you right now, all the all-star teams I played on didn't do nothing for my life. But all the times that my family had me around the things of God and His Word, that's what changed my life. Amen. Plus, your kid may not be an all-star. That's hard for some folks to accept. Amen. Listen, your kid's not very good at baseball. Maybe ping pong or something. I don't know. You say, what are you trying to say? All that, when they become adults, that ain't going to carry them through one bit. Amen. Past victories don't fight the present battle. You can draw for the past, but you can't depend on the past. Amen. Everybody okay this morning? Let me say this next of all, and I'll move on. Not only did past victories not fight the present battle, but I like this right here. The power of God was still the same. You know what Moses is trying to say? He said, until you came to this place, this is all that God's done for you. But let me say this, He can do it again. Let me say, He's going to carry you through. You know what He's trying to say? The power of God is just as available, it's just as capable today as it ever has been. You say, can the power of God become real in my children's life? Yes, it can. Can the power of God be real in my life? Yes, it can today. Even in this day that we live in, the power of God is still the same. Can I say that the power of God is still able to save a soul? I mean, I'll tell you one of the biggest blessings of youth camp a couple of weeks ago, man, we saw two teenage boys come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. You know what a joy that was? To know that He still has power to save. Do you believe that He has power to save? Do you pray for your kids as if He has power to save? Do you pray for your family members as if He has the power to save? Because He does. We're so beaten down today by these doomsday preachers that all they like to talk about is that it's Laodicea. Listen, I know it's Laodicea, but my God is still able. Amen. Amen. He may not save this country, but He can save your life. Amen. The power of God is still the same. He can still sustain you. He can still provide for you. That's our God. Amen. The power of God was still the same. Now, this is something about the power of God. These Israelites, they were in captivity in Egypt, and God brought them out. You know, He brought them out a certain way. You say, what way is that? Well, the most famous story we like to tell is how He split the Red Sea. Y'all remember that story? I'm just trying to make sure you're awake this morning. Amen. And then we know how He provided manna from heaven. Man, I don't know about you. I would like to know what manna was like. Now, I've had some manna spiritually. But I guess those Israelites, man, they learned every way possible to make manna. Manna pancakes, manna waffles, manna burgers. I know that's a bad joke, amen, but I'm just... Say what happened. They saw the Red Sea. They saw Him provide manna. Man, and Moses makes mention of it here. They saw Him put a pillar of fire at night. They saw the cloud by day. But now they're in a different place. And you know what? As far as I know, He didn't split the Red Sea again, and He didn't put another pillar of fire and a cloud by day. You say, what's the point? God may not do it the same way He did it 20 years ago, but He can still do it. You know, they weren't going to experience that cloud again, but they could still experience the power of God. Anybody with me? All I'm trying to say is this. The power is still available to those who want it. The power of God was still the same. All right, I need to move on. Look at verse number 32 next of all. Amen. I hope this is making sense to you this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 32. After verse number 31, where he says, until you came into this place. In verse number 32, the Bible says, yet in this thing that you're facing right now, ye did not believe the Lord your God. What I see next of all about the Israelites was they paid more attention to what man said than what God said. They paid more attention to what man said. You know, earlier, we read the verses a minute ago, and I'm not going to read them again. Man, well, there ain't no air. Hold up now. There ain't no air coming out of there. I'm looking for some cool air up here. Amen. A few verses earlier, the Israelites had the idea of sending spies into the land. Y'all remember that? We read it just a minute ago. And they came back and they reported what they found. They said, the Anakims are there. There's giants. The people are greater and they're taller than we are. The cities, they're walled up to heaven. But you know what? God still wanted them to go. Amen? You know why they didn't want to go? They paid more attention to what man had to say than what God said. God said go. Yeah, you know what? Everything the spy said was true. There were giants. Amen? The people were probably greater and taller than they were. The walls were high. That's all true. But God said go. So we're going to go. And you know what it's easy to do today, especially in this social media world that we're living in? It's easy to look and say, man, Fox News said that all the evil people in Washington, D.C. are taking over. Yeah, they basically are. Amen? There's evil on every hand. Yeah, that's pretty much true. Amen? The Bible says in 2 Timothy, man, that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. That's pretty much true. But God said go. You know what I want for we're still going to live for God in my household. I don't know about you. Let the world do what they want to do, man. God's looking for somebody that'll just pay more attention to what He says than what the world says and what man says. Did He not say that He would never leave you nor for... Did He not say that? Yeah, He said that. Did He not say that He would be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Yeah, He said that. Amen. Does the Bible still say that His compassions fail not? His mercies are new every morning. Does it not still say that He daily loadeth us with benefits? Amen. Does it not? I'm telling you, it still says all those things. Why don't you pay more attention to what God says than what man says? You know what? You know what man says will do? It'll discourage you to no end. Some of the most miserable conversations I've been a part of have been with Christian people. God, there's nothing more miserable than a miserable Christian. Amen? Well, I'll tell you, it's thank God that it's cooler outside, but it could be a little cooler. Thank God for the rain. We needed the rain, but now the sun's come out and heating up the rain, and it's like a sauna. I'm sweating everywhere I go. It's like, dear God. Hey, anybody else have that conversation ever? I have it all the time, man. You work with the public, and you'll have some conversations. I'll tell you right now. Yeah, I mean, I got a raise at work last week, but it was only 2%. Oh, okay. How about thank God you got a raise? Pay more attention to what God says than what man says. Amen. There's a lot of people not getting raises, by the way. There's a lot of people that don't even have a job. Amen. I'm going to stop there. There's more I could say, but I'm going to stop there. And let me ask you, church, what about the place you're in right now? Let me tell you, this is not just me telling you. This is the truth of Scripture. God knows where you are. Does that bring you any joy and assurance at all? It should. I'm not downplaying the trial. I'm not downplaying the issue. But I know this. You can take it to Him. You know what the truth is, though? Past victories don't fight the present battle. Man, you got to fight. You got a fight coming up. That's good news. You know what Israel's problem was? He said, Moses said, all these things God's done for you until you got to this place. And now you believe Him not. You believe what He says? You pay attention to what God says, or you pay more attention to what man says? Amen. You're reading Romans 8:28, or are you on channel 8:28? Amen. Now, I don't know what channel Fox News is on your cable network. I don't have cable. But the point is this. Instead of depending on the next seat in the house, how about dwelling on this instead of that? How about dwelling on the fact that you're already seated in heavenly places? You know what all that does? That makes you worry a little bit less about what's going on down here. Why? Because God is just as able. God is just as capable in this place as He was in that one. You know what you're... And I'm repeating myself now, but I look around at all... Man, thank God for all these kids. You know what they need, parents? They need God in this place. I was having a conversation the other day, and man, at revival a few weeks ago, God showed up and stirred amongst us. And buddy, what a joy that was. You know what that took me back to my childhood, I'll be honest with you. Here I am going down memory lane. Man, the power and the presence of God like that. It wasn't just at camp meeting, it was every week at church, man. You didn't want to miss church when I was little. You didn't want to miss choir practice when I was a kid. Man, there were several times God moved in choir practice. People getting out of the choir in choir practice to go to the altar and practice. That's what I experienced. And listen, it may not be the same way today. I don't know. It may not be the cloud. It may not be the pillar of fire. But I know this, parents, church, we need the power of God in this place. We need Him now. Why don't you, I don't know, this is an invitation. Why don't you find a place and ask God to do something in your life in this place? I'm not talking about this physical place, although that's good too. I'm talking about this, where you are today. You say, in the middle of my problems? Yeah, in the middle of your problems. In the middle of my family? Yeah, in the middle of all that. Why don't you ask God to do something right now? In this place. Hey, let me ask you, church. Hadn't He been good to you until you came to this place? Hadn't He carried you until you came to this place? Hadn't He been good? Hadn't He been faithful until you came to this place? Well, I'm pretty sure I can stand with full assurance and tell you this. He'll keep on doing it. He'll keep on doing it, even in this place. Amen. Heads are bowed this morning. Miss Esther, you mind coming to play a song of invitation? I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. Amen. I don't know about you, but in my family, in my household, I need God to do something in this place, just like He did in a previous place. And He's able. He's fully capable. The power of God is accessible today to those who desire it, those who seek it. In this place, how about it, kids? Don't you need God in this place the same way that you need Him in every other place? Until you came to this place. You know, in this place, the burden seems heavier. Burdens seem heavier in the moment. But thank God that we have a burden bearer. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Teenagers, kids, listen, y'all may not be facing the same things that these adults are facing, but I know y'all are facing stuff. God can do it today. God can do it again. You say, in what place? In this place. He can do it. Amen. Let the Lord help you this morning.